Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, October 11th. As we reported in Monday's newscast, the long-talked-about and much-debated Bull Mountain Oil and Gas Development Project has been approved. The Bureau of Land Management gave final approval for SG Interests to move forward with the project. The so-called Bull Mountain site is about 30 miles northeast of Paonia in the North Fork Valley, south of McClure Pass. The area is bisected by Colorado Highway 133 and could eventually cover some 20,000 acres. The approved plan includes four wastewater injection wells, up to 33 well pads, as well as new roads, pipelines, and compressor stations. KVNF News spoke with David Ludlam, Executive Director of the West Slope Oil and Gas Association, about Bull Mountain. Here is that interview. What was your reaction when you heard that the BLM had approved the Bull Mountain project?
After a decade of analysis, I think it was relief that the project is going to come to fruition and that, you know, the countless years and the capital investment that's been made by our member companies isn't going to be for naught. They're going to get their project approved, and we're excited about that.
And as you mentioned, it was over 10 years that this has been talked about, and there were, over that time, thousands of comments against the proposal and on various websites, as well as some in favor of the project. Do you feel like the public was adequately informed and consulted during this process, and do you believe that their concerns were addressed?
Well, I think it's fundamentally important to take a step back and look at the fact that the development of those leases was really approved way back when the forest plan and the BLM resource management plan was approved. That's what allowed this area to be leased in the first place. The Bull Mountain EIS, the environmental impact statement, was more a project about how to do it in an environmentally sensitive way to mitigate environmental impacts and to assess what those are. So through the forest plan and the BLM's resource management plan, those are some of the most robust public input processes in our country, and these leases underwent both of those to be available in the first place. But the environmental impact statement for the Bull Mountain project is probably one of the longest we've ever seen, one of the most in-depth in terms of its breadth of time, something that we found staggering in terms of the input that it did collect through the years.
Do you think that the approval of the Bull Mountain project will open the door for more oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley?
I reject the metaphor of open the door for more oil and gas development, because the North Fork Valley and the Southern Piance Basin have been host to energy exploration for the better part of a century. Natural gas resources were well known at the time that the coal mines were being developed, and we've had exploration ever since that time. And so we think this is just the next chapter in a long history of oil and gas production throughout the Piance Basin, including the southern flank of the basin there in the North Fork Valley.
That was David Ludlam, Executive Director of the West Slope Oil and Gas Association. And stay tuned to tomorrow's KVNF regional newscast for more reaction to the Bull Mountain announcement. We'll speak with Citizens for a Healthy Community Interim Executive Director Natasha Leger to get her response. The Trump administration doubled down on rolling back Obama-era environmental protections this week. A spokesperson for Senator Michael Bennet said that Colorado will be hurt by the rollbacks. Eric Gladys has the story.
In another move to strip Obama-era protections, the Trump administration is set to announce the rollback of the Clean Power Plan today. Last week, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke sidestepped a federal court's decision calling on the agency to enforce a rule limiting the waste of taxpayer-owned methane on public lands. The legislative branch weighed in on methane in May when Colorado Senator Michael Bennet cast the 51st vote against scrapping the rule. Candace Valsing, Bennett's senior advisor on energy, says delay or repeal would be bad for Colorado.
Although Colorado has very common sense regulations for methane, national standards are needed because pollution from outside the state can actually come to Colorado and harm the health of the children in Colorado and actually make it more burdensome for businesses in Colorado to comply with clean air regulations.
After a federal judge told the Interior Department it couldn't delay the methane waste rule, Secretary Ryan Zinke set enforcement back as far as January of 2019 by opening the proposal up for public comments. Zinke has argued the move will help oil and gas gas companies avoid costs of complying before the deregulation process plays out. Zinke also claims the measure is redundant because of methane limits set by the Environmental Protection Agency. Valsing notes while EPA protections can address some of the health impacts of methane pollution, the Interior Department's limits were put in place to protect assets owned by all Americans. According to conservation groups, companies leak or intentionally waste about $330 million worth of natural gas annually, enough to supply energy to some 1.5 million homes.
That's why it's important to keep this rule in place and to keep it on its current timeline, because there's millions of dollars of revenue that can be going to things like schools and other activities in Colorado and throughout the country. It's important that we start collecting that revenue and giving it back to taxpayers.
The proposal to suspend the methane rule was published in the Federal Register last Thursday, and the 30-day public comment period will expire on November 6th. You can put in your 2 cents at regulation.gov. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
From Aspen Public Radio, reporter Elizabeth Stewart Severy filed a report that portrays the anatomy of a mountain rescue mission. Yesterday, we heard from climber Joe Seeds, who was stranded on Capitol Peak early in September after losing the trail. In part two, we pick up the story when Seeds has been on the mountain for hours and the rescue team is on the way.
Up on Capitol, Joe Seeds is carefully making his way to a place where the helicopter could spot him.
I think panic hit me for about a second, and then somehow I just turned around. Like, I knew if I panicked, I'm going to end up dead. Basically, start back up.
Maneuvering a helicopter through 14,000-foot peaks is not an easy task, and landing one is even trickier.
There's not a lot of places where the helicopter can truly land. Often they're trying to put one wheel or one skid down.
So many times, that means lowering a mountain rescue team member into the field, like in this case.
Go for operations.
I'm on the ground just below K2. Our subject, I think he was in a pretty rough spot for a while. He's on the route now. I'll have him around past K2.
And then the rescuer starts on the next step, stabilize.
The idea with stabilize is don't make the problem worse.
Up on Capitol, the rescuer reached Seeds, clipped him into a harness, and walked him out of the treacherous spot he was in, back to the trail. If he had been hurt, mountain rescue team members can help with pain, work to stop bleeding or splint injured limbs, and get the patient ready for transport.
So we found them, we figured out how to get to them, we stabilized the situation, and now transport, how do we get him out?
The team in a Blackhawk reached Joe Seeds in the late afternoon. He had been on Capitol since about 5:30 that morning. It had been hours since he had last seen another person. He was exhausted and it was late. Plus, it has been a deadly season on that peak.
Five people died and they don't want me to be the sixth.
So he was harnessed to the rescue team member and hoisted up into the helicopter, then flown out to safety. But for Mountain Rescue Aspen and Sheriff DeSalvo, it doesn't end there.
And stay tuned to tomorrow's newscast for the final part of this report. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.